Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. Exodus, chapter number 14. The psalmist David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus said, "He that believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Thank God there's a light tonight. Amen. For the children of God. I want to continue tonight and try to finish up this portion of the message in the series on Help is on the Way. Let me see where I need to start reading tonight. We won't read the whole chapter again, but let's start reading tonight in verse 13. Let's start reading in verse 13. And Moses, this is Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." I don't know if I'm alone or not in what I'm about to say. I kind of feel like I'm not. But I believe one of the hardest things in our Christian experience, and I'll say especially in this generation, is to be still. Is to stand still, just to be still. That's very difficult for me. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you the way I'm cut out, it's easier for me to be busy, to be doing something. I mean, I praise God for the rain, and I reckon I ought to just go ahead and praise Him that I can mow the grass now. Amen. I saw the grass is itching over the driveway, so I get the weed eating everything this time. Amen. And the last time I mowed, it looked like a dust bowl. I was kind of ashamed that I was mowing, to be honest with you. It was so dry. But stand still. Just be still. That's what Moses said to the people. "Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Boy, God just give me a thought. There's coming a day when we'll never have to look at the enemy again. Praise God. The Lord's going to put him in his place. Amen. All that outfit that wants to follow him. They said that fella made a statement about being in hell with the devil that done that shooting in Oregon. Now, I guarantee you he got his wish. I guarantee you he did. Amen. But it might not be just like he's got it all planned out. Outer darkness. Won't be no buddies in hell. Amen. There won't be no fellowship in hell. Even with the devil, there won't be. But anyway, God told him, he said, "These that you see, you're going to see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." That's a hard lesson, isn't it? When we come under attack, sometimes we want to defend ourselves. And I tell you, the wisest thing the child of God can do when they come under attack is say, "Lord, you handle this. And let the Lord fight for us and hold our peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" And this is kindly a little bit odd, but it's like God saying, "Moses, it ain't time to pray, it's time to preach. I want you to say something to the children of Israel that they may go forward." And by the way, there's a time for everything. And there's a place for everything. There's a time to pray. There's a time to preach. There's a time to sing. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. Amen? Solomon told us that. And he said, "But lift thou up thy rod," in verse 16, "and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Let's pray for just a moment. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, God, for the word of God. Lord, you told us, I believe it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that these things were written for our ensamples. God, I know that, Lord, I have never been backed up against a literal sea. But Lord, I know in my life there have been times when I could see no way out of the situation that I was in. But God, you were faithful. And you made a way, Lord, where there was no way. God, tonight, I pray that when we get in a place like that again, we will recall and remember that, Lord, help is on the way. God, I pray tonight that you would bless this precious congregation of people. God, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, I pray you'd speak to their heart. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would encourage us as your people. Lord, there's so much in the world to discourage us. So many things are happening, our Father, that are evil, that are wicked. Lord, I pray you'd encourage us through your word tonight. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning we began looking at this thought. We began last Sunday morning looking at the thought, help is on the way when there's a problem with sin. Last Sunday night, help was on the way when there's a problem with the supply. I just want to be led of God, but I may pick up on another text or two under that title right there. Amen. God has just blessed us to see him in the Bible many, many times make a way in God's people's lives. Today, the Lord put this in my heart. About a week ago, we're looking at help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea. The children of Israel were backed up against the sea. The children of Israel were in a situation where they could see no way out. And I believe with all of my heart tonight that if you live for God very long, you'll find yourself in one of those situations too. But God will make a way. Help will be on the way. We said this morning, I'm not going to rehash or re-preach all this, just simply, we need a Moses. If we're going to see help on the way, we need a Moses in our life, someone to hear from the Lord and someone to speak for the Lord. I can remember a time in my life when I didn't appreciate truth. Help me right there. When somebody told me the truth, I knew it was the truth. I believe God made us as human beings in such a way that we know when we're hearing the truth. We know it. Amen. But listen, I didn't appreciate it, amen. As a teenager, I mean, I had something else on my mind when I went to church besides the truth. Amen, I didn't go very much, but when I did go, it was, spying out the land, if you know what I mean. We need a Moses. And then we need our memory. We need to remember that we have an enemy. And then we need to remember who the enemy is. Let's not forget that. Moses was not their enemy. Moses was their friend. Moses was a friend of God. I know that Moses later on, I'll not say a lot about that tonight, but he made a tremendous mistake in smiting the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you deal with people, you can understand the frustration, amen. Moses got frustrated, amen. Sometimes we get frustrated. And I know I'm not making an excuse, and God didn't either. It cost him his trip into the promised land. But tonight I got two more things I want to share with you just briefly tonight, and we'll have the invitation and go home. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The next thing that I believe we need to realize if we're going to see the help that's on the way is we need a manifestation. We need God to manifest his glory and manifest his power and manifest his presence. And I believe that's important because what the Bible said here in verse 13 was, he said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then and these words are important, if you'll underline. He will show to you today. And then in verse 14, the Lord shall fight
for you. I tell you what, the devil would like for us to believe that our Lord has forgotten us. But our Lord has not forgotten us. He's going to fight for us. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, you know, Brother Mays magnified this truth years ago. Sometimes you can have brothers that'll scrap with one another. They'll fight with one another at the drop of a hat, drop the hat too. But you let somebody from the outside come in and start picking on one of them brothers. Amen. All of a sudden they bind together. Aren't you glad we have an elder brother in the Lord Jesus? You let the enemy come. Amen. And God is just liable to manifest himself. He said here, he'll show you today. I want to give you a couple of things. This is how the Lord spoke to my heart. Moses said to the people, fear ye not. First of all, when God shows up, it will remove fear. It will remove fear when God shows up. And help will be on the way. The Bible said that the fear of man is a snare. And while the children of Israel were standing there, looking at the Egyptians and Pharaoh that was coming after them, my friend, they were afraid. But Moses said, just stand right here. Amen. And be still, just stand still, and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. And it just seemed like God removed that fear in their heart. I got a couple of things I want to say right here tonight. I mentioned David this morning and his sin. You want to know why David got right with God? I'll tell you why. God showed up. How did he show up? He showed up in the prophet Nathan. Nathan told David a little story about a man that just had one little ewe lamb. Another man got all kinds of sheep, and how the traveler came and that man killed that man's one little ewe lamb that he took in his bosom. He ate with him. He slept with him. And I guess it'd be a her, wouldn't it? A ewe lamb. Amen. But anyway, and David got angry. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. And he didn't realize he was pronouncing judgment upon his own self. And Nathan looked at him. Thank God for the Nathans. I've said this. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. My friend, we could argue tonight and we won't argue. Some say that Jonathan was David's best friend. I want to tell you, I will argue that Nathan might have been the best friend that David ever had in this world. Why, preacher? Because Nathan, knowing that it could cost him his life, was willing to tell David the truth. And you say, preacher, why do you know that it removed fear when God showed up? Because David repented. Amen. He wasn't going to kill another man and try to cover up his sin. He repented. And my friend, God said through Nathan, he said, listen, David, the sword's never going to leave your house. The sin still brought a consequence. But it was forgiven, and David was able to move on in his life. You say, preacher, how does that apply to us? Think about Isaiah. God showed up in Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Isaiah is busy telling us what's wrong in the nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, there's a lot wrong in our country. I'll say this, I want to stop and say this. I still cannot think of anywhere I'd rather live than right where I live. Yes, there's a lot wrong in our country. And I just wish people that don't love our country go somewhere else and live. Patriotism's about gone, amen, in our land. Men and women have given their lives for the freedom that we have today to preach the Word of God. And to live the dictates of our heart. Oh, beloved friend, Isaiah chapter 6 comes along. No longer is Isaiah going to be telling us about what's wrong in Israel. He has an encounter with a holy God. God showed up. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. You say, preacher, what happened? Here's what happened. My friend Isaiah cried out, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me! I'm undone! That's what he said. When God shows up, fear is removed. You're no longer afraid. Listen, the night I got saved, I sat there in fear for about 45 minutes while the pastor preached. He said, "Preacher, what was you afraid of?" I'll tell you what I was afraid of. I was afraid of what people think. And I tell you, thank God Almighty, in that invitation, God showed up, Brother Randy. I got to a place where I could care less what people think. I was on my way to hell without God, and I needed a Savior. It'll remove fear when God shows up. Help will be on the way. I believe that was true in the lives of the children of Israel. God shows up, it'll remove fear. The fear of man is removed. But let me give you this quickly, then I'll move right on. The fear of God is restored. When God shows up, by the way, listen, you know what we need in our country more than anything else? The fear of the Lord. We need the fear of God restored. We need somebody, my friend, running for office that ain't talking about getting together and having a drink as soon as they get there. Help me tonight. It ain't drinking time. That's one of the reasons, my friend, there's never been a stand taken against alcohol, because all of them that makes laws suck on it. Amen. That's the problem. I better back up and correct that statement. Most of them do. Not all of them. But most of them. They'd never touch a law like that because they like it. The Bible is telling us here we need a manifestation of God. When God shows up, it'll remove fear. But when God shows up, the fear of man will be removed, but the fear of God will be restored. There's another instance of that in Job 42. In Job 42, Job said, "I've heard of thee." He had an encounter with a holy God. He said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent in dust and in ashes." I'm going to tell you tonight, an encounter with the holy God will help us when our back is up against the sea. And help will be on the way. Listen tonight, God shows up, it'll remove fear. But secondly tonight, look at verse 31 with me. And The Bible said in verse 31, that's the end of the chapter, but I'm going there for my text, and I'll show you. The Bible said, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians." Now watch this now. The Bible did not say, "And Israel saw that great work which Moses did upon the Egyptians." That's not what it said. This work was too big for Moses. Moses was a part of it. Moses was obedient. God used Moses. But this was not Moses' work. Let me say this to you tonight. This work is too big for any man. This is God's work. This is God's church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I believe sometimes man forgets. My friend, listen, it's not ours. It's His. It's His. And so not only when there's a manifestation of God's power and God's purpose in our lives, it will remove fear, but watch this, it will rekindle faith. They're having a hard time believing. Here comes the Egyptians. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes the chariots. They're having a hard time believing God's in this. They're having a difficult time. But watch what it said in verse 31. "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Let me tell you something. Listen carefully. Listen to me carefully right here. How many of you all would love to please God tonight? Now listen to me carefully right here. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Let me tell you the kind of faith that, I mean, listen, we read about here a kind of faith, Brother Randy. They saw it happen, and then they feared God, then they believed God, and then they believed Moses. I'm going to tell you what God's pleased with. Somebody that'll believe Him before it ever happens. Somebody that'll get a hold of Him. Somebody that'll say, "God, my back's to the sea. I don't see any way out, but I know help is on the way. And you're going to help me in this situation." An example of that, we've all heard, and there's nothing wrong with it. We should hear God's people praise Him for answered prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. I love it. But listen to me carefully. When it was time to go down there to Jericho, listen to me now. March around once. Again, day two. Again, day three. Again, day four. Now, when it come time for that day when the walls was going to fall, how many remembers that day? Now, listen to me carefully. I'm going to ask you a question. Did they shout before the walls fell down? Or did they shout after the walls fell down? Now, that's exactly right, brother. You know what I believe God's pleased with? Somebody that would believe Him to the degree that they would just go ahead and shout on faith before the wall ever falls down. Amen. Before God ever makes a way, somebody that would just believe God and say, Lord, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know You will do what needs to be done in this situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It rekindles faith. The Lord shall fight for you. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Faith rekindled, listen to me carefully, will cause us to go forward, not backwards. Faith, when faith is rekindled. How many's ever seen your faith get real low? I have too. God has a way of making me plumb ashamed of myself sometimes. Amen. There have been many things I prayed about for years. And about the time I give up, God stepped in. How many knows what I'm talking about? And I believe sometimes He does that just to let us know we're not God. He is. And we're not in control of Him. He's in control of us. We need a manifestation. When God shows up, it'll remove fear. When God shows up, it'll rekindle faith. But lift up thy rod in verse 16. Stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Let me ask you this tonight. Is that not hard to believe? Is that not hard to believe? Difficult to believe? It just all depends on how you line it up. Some people say, well, do you really believe that that whale, he's called a whale in some texts, a great fish in another text, do you really believe that that whale swallowed Jonah? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe? How many's with me tonight? I really believe that. You say, preacher, why? Now listen to me carefully tonight. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know that, right? I've got more respect for someone that would tell me I don't believe a word of that book than somebody that tiptoes through that book and tells me what they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe. Is anybody with me? I mean, either God, the Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. And God is true. And God said, listen, He's going to make them a way across the sea. God's fixing my friend, to blow an east wind and dry up a path in the sea for the children of God to cross over. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you really believe that about Jonah? And I said, yes, and for whatever it's worth. If God would have told me in His word that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed that too. How many knows what I just said? Amen. I don't. You see, we already know that Jesus walked on water, right? Brother man, I just got to thinking, letting my mind wander a little bit today. Sometimes that's dangerous, but I believe God could have made him a way to walk on the water and just walk across if that's what He wanted him to do. I believe the Spirit of God could have just caught him away, just caught him up and carried him over if that's what He wanted him to do. I mean, God's God. He's not limited. Amen. He's not limited. But the Bible said that the east wind came, God parted the sea. There was a wall on the right, a wall on the left. And God said they crossed over on dry ground. I believe, my friend, it is the way that God said it is. Remove fear, it'll rekindle faith. But I want you to see one more thing before we go to the last thing in the message. The Bible said in verse 19, And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Many times when you see in the Old Testament, the angel of God or the angel of the Lord, what you're looking at is what they call a theophanies or a pre-incarnate Christ. A pre-incarnate, listen, Jesus did not begin in the manger in Bethlehem. By the way, Jesus did not begin. Say amen. In the beginning, wherever that is, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so tonight we see that a manifestation of God will remove fear, rekindle faith. The Egyptians in verse 18 are going to know that I am the Lord. We see in verse 19, the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel. He changed places. He removed and went behind. He's going to get between them and the enemy. Glory to God, I'm about to shout right there. How many is glad there's somebody between us and the enemy? Somebody between God's people and the enemy. The Bible said here, he went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now listen to me carefully. He said, preacher, I don't know what's going on. Look at verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. There's a cloud. There's the angel of God. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave a light by night to these. You say, preacher, I just don't believe the same cloud could give light to one outfit and darkness to the other outfit. That's your problem. That's your problem. Not mine. Because that's what the Bible said. God said if you're on the right side of the cloud, you're walking in the light. If you're on the wrong side of the cloud, you're walking in darkness. And if the angel of God, the pre-incarnate Jesus, is in the cloud, I'll just say if you're on the right side of the cross, you're walking in the light. But if you're on the wrong side, you're walking in darkness. What will it do, preacher? Not only will it remove fear, a manifestation of God will remove fear, rekindle faith, but it will restrain the foe. God was restraining them, using this cloud to light the way for them, and they're in total darkness back here. Let me say this tonight. I'm not going to preach on this a long time, but according to 2 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 2, the Bible said, only he that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. I used to think, listen, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about this because the Bible's not dogmatic about this. But that he that now letteth will let, that's the Holy Spirit of the living God. And there's coming a day when he's going to be taken out of the way. There's going to be no more restraint. Are you listening to me? And I'm a preacher that believes he's just slowly, slowly easing out and saying to mankind, you can have it. Why do we have lawlessness in our land? Because the restraint has been removed. You can take every gun from everybody in this nation, but as long as there's a wicked heart running around, people will be murdered. Amen. You say, preacher, you for taking the guns? Well, I'll just tell you this. If you take them, only people that'll have them will be the lawless. Amen. Help us, Jesus. It'll remove fear. It'll rekindle faith. But thank God it'll restrain the foe. Thank God for the restraint of the Holy Spirit. So what do we need? We need a Moses. What was that second thing? We need our memory. And that third thing was we need a manifestation. Help is on the way. Let me give you the last thing tonight. You're going to like this. We need a miracle. When we're backed up against the sea that I'm talking about, Brother Jeff, there's no way out. humanly speaking. He said, "Preacher, I got a young'un that's lost. There's no way for him to be saved, humanly speaking. We need a miracle." Oh, you say, "Preacher, surely you wouldn't preach that being born again is a miracle." Surely I would. I'm going to go further than that. When Charity starts feeling them pains in there, and Bob has to take her to the hospital, honey, I believe it's a miracle when they come out naturally. Anybody that would just look at the human race, amen, and look at the human body, it's a miracle that way. And it's a greater miracle when they're born again. Based upon faith and truth that you absolutely cannot prove, humanly speaking. But I tell you what, spiritually speaking, we know it's the truth. We know it's the truth. We need a miracle. Salvation is through the Word. Moses obeyed the Lord. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. If you look at verse number 15 and verse number 16, look what it says here in our text. In verse number 15 and verse number 16, the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou to me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift up thou thy rod. Lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Moses just did. I think there was, were you talking about Naaman, brother, Sunday or two back? Brother Brian, I think you were talking about Naaman. Little girl said, you know, if he would have required, I'm just paraphrasing something, you know, spectacular, wouldn't you have done that? But God just told him to go down there and dip. That was seven times in the Jordan River. And the little girl said, "Hey, just do what he tells you to do." Mary at the wedding in Cana of Galilee said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Just do it. Just do it. I believe salvation is through the Word. Moses obeyed the Lord. The Bible said Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. We know he had a rod in it. You can read that. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Now watch this now. All that night. And he made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. Brother Gale mentioned this to me this morning. And I went and looked it up this afternoon. And I appreciate, Brother Gale, you mentioning it to me. But if you go to the next chapter in verse number 8, the Bible said that the waters were congealed. I had to look that up. And it means frozen. God stacked it up over here. And God stacked it up over here. And God held the sea back and they walked across on dry land. I didn't know that. But I looked it up. You say, "Why, preacher? Won't you trust Brother Gale?" Thank you, Brother Gale. If Brother Gale don't trust Brother Gale, it'd be all right. Amen. I just wanted to confirm it, but I never heard that before. Brother Gale, I'm still learning. A lot of things I don't know. And a lot of preachers would just went ahead and preach that like they're the one that discovered it. I'm not that way. I thank God for people that helped me along the way. And so think about this for just a minute. It's just a thought. They were in a desert place. And could it be that God provided air conditioning? I mean, they're walking between the ice, the water that's congealed. How many's with me? I'm going to tell you something right now. I know this. When you're in the will of God, walking with God, it's a comfortable place to walk. Somebody help me right there. God made them a way where there was no way tonight. Thank God tonight. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. Salvation is through the Word of God. And then the last thing I'll give you tonight, the Bible said here that he troubled the host of the Egyptians. In verse 24, he took off their chariot wheels. In verse 25, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You say, "Preacher, you don't believe God could take the wheels off." I hope you do. By the way, if we'd get to the place where we'd walk with God that we could believe if we're walking with Him and we have a flat tire, He has a purpose in it, we'd be a lot happier people.
How many knows what I just said? It could be that that guy that's going to pull in there to help you needs a track, needs the gospel, needs Jesus. He might just need lunch money. I'm just telling you, God has a way. There are such things. How many believes what I'm about to say as divine appointments? God gives us appointments along the way. We need a miracle. Thank God tonight, God's in the miracle working business. Amen. You go down to verse number 27. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. Look at these lines. Look at this line right here. I underlined it. It spoke to my heart when the morning appeared. God has seen them through the situation. It was good morning for God's people, but it was a bad night for the devil's people. The same experience was a good morning. Let me say this to you. Jesus is coming. How many believes that? Honey, that's going to be a good morning for God's people. But it's going to be a bad night, Brother Rick, for those that are left behind, for those that are unsaved. It's going to be a bad night, a bad time of darkness. Praise the Lord tonight. Thank God tonight for the miracle. It came through the Word of God. Not only has salvation come through the Word, but I tell you what it does. It comes through the Lord. Salvation, the Word of God said, is of the Lord. Verse number 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. We know, if you study your Bible, how temporary this is. They're going to get across. They're going to wander around. They're going to be without water. They're going to be without bread. And it's going to be a shame the way they're going to murmur and complain. But right now, they're believing God. I want to say this tonight. We need a miracle. Crossing the Red Sea was a miracle. How many believes that tonight? I read one time about a fellow that explained it. He said that actually it was a swamp. Well, let me tell you about a miracle. If there was not a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left, and God didn't dry up the land, and they walked across in a swamp, how do you drown Pharaoh and his army and his horses in a swamp? Aren't we a lot better off just to believe the Bible than to try to explain it away? I tell you tonight, I love the Word of God. Crossing the Red Sea was a miracle. When a sinner gets saved, it's a miracle. When a prodigal comes home, it's a miracle. When we're entangled in the wilderness with our back to the sea, and it seems that there's no way out, may God help us to remember, help is on the way. Help is on the way. When there's a problem with sin, help is on the way. When there's a problem with the supply. Amanda, I haven't been, honey, but I will. I'm going to begin to earnestly pray that God will give you a good job. I've been praying for Brother Anthony. My daughter has expressed some frustration with what's going on. And tonight, before we came to church, she told me some more. And I just can't help but believe help is on the way. God sees her heart. God knows she wants to do what's right. Ain't always been that way. God will honor that. And I believe help is on the way. I've preached tonight and I didn't even look back there at her until just now. But I guarantee you, she feels like her back is up against the sea and there's no way out. Amen. You see, what's a little thing to some people is a big thing to others. Let me say this to the adults in our congregation. When them little ones has got something on their heart, you get down on one knee and listen to them. You might think that's a little thing, but to them it could be a great big thing. Very important in their life. I'm just glad you come tonight. Help is on the way. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for loving us. I pray, God, as we just reflect for a moment, God, that you would rekindle our faith, remove the fear, restrain the foe. God, we need a manifestation. Lord, I was thinking last night over in the book of Acts when they got together and prayed, the early church, and the Bible said the place where they prayed was shaken. God, we don't want to just be the status quo, the hum-ho, come to church and leave church unchanged, unchallenged. God, I pray you'd shake us. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd give us more faith. The disciples ask you, Lord, for two things. They ask you to teach them to pray, and they ask you to increase their faith. God, teach us to pray. Increase our faith. Help us, Lord, when it gets real tough, to realize, Lord, that we have a Savior that will make a way where seemingly there is no way. I pray tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the message would find a lodging place.